With everything going on, it's easy to forget that it's almost election time. I'm going to have a state representative on a show today to talk about how we should think about those that we're going to vote for, because it's going to be even more important than ever to have the right people in office. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, you are listening to The Leadersmith.
Okay, well, welcome to this episode of the Leadersmith podcast. I am joined by Josiah Magnuson. Josiah is a state representative in South Carolina, and unfortunately, he doesn't live in my district because I would have absolutely zero problem voting for him. He's got an incredible record. I'm looking at Project Vote Smart, where he's got a rating of 95% by the South Carolina Club for Growth. He's got a 100% rating by the Republican Liberty Caucus. I only wish you would move down to North Charleston.
Thank you. Well, I'm certainly content to serve the people of my community, so I don't think I'll be coming down there, but you can move up our way.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the offer. Okay. So the reason that Josiah is here is because the other day he put something on Facebook that I was looking at, and I said, wow, that's exactly right. He said this: thinking about a few red flags to watch out for with any political candidate. Maybe you will find these helpful as we get closer to election time. What others would you add? Number one, and I'm going to ask you to elaborate on these as I go through these five steps. Number one, venturing into an election cold turkey without any volunteer experience or activism on key issues. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so as I've been involved politically, and I've been, I would say, involved since I was a teenager, but really interested in politics even before that. And I've noticed a lot of candidates that will, you know, talk a good game, but they won't necessarily get involved in either the Republican Party or in a volunteer organization. I mean, we've got so many good conservative groups out there that need help. And if a candidate wants to be a servant, and if they want to serve the people, then I think the first step is, you know, get involved on the issues that matter in your own community and in conservative groups. If your first instinct is, oh, let's go to the government to try to fix everything, to me, that is not a good sign.
Yeah. So there's two things there. One, they want to be a general without ever having been in the ranks.
Sure.
And then two, if you're looking for the government to solve all your problems, that's a problem right there. You should get your bones by working with nonprofits and businesses and other things that are already solving these before you try to go to government. In fact, if you're going to government for solutions, that's probably another red flag that we should have established along the way. Okay, number two, speaking eloquently about conservative ideas without mentioning specific public policy positions. What does that mean?
So another thing that I noticed, and this goes along a similar line, I think, with number one, but a lot of candidates will jump in and talk about freedom, and they'll talk about American heritage, the Constitution, and so forth, but they don't necessarily have a grasp on how those things apply to whatever position they're seeking. So, you know, what will sometimes happen is you get a candidate that will get up on the stage and they'll be asked about, you know, let's say the pension system, or about DOT reform, or, you know, specifics of tax policy, you know, the finer points. And they mean well, but they just don't know the answer. And so, you know, how are they going to really advocate for the right things if they don't know how the things that they believe in apply to government directly?
So in their defense, they haven't been in that seat, so they don't know all the details, but they should at least do their homework in order to have a sense of it, right? I mean, I appreciate somebody who just can articulate the line, but I want you to also be able to translate that into reality. I suppose that's what you mean.
Okay. That's right. And there's a lot of times that a candidate will put forth platitudes, and they'll talk a lot of fluff and a lot of you know, big ideas, but it's just they need to have substance. And I think that's something that we have a right to demand out of our you know, public servants is what are you actually going to do?
Okay, number three, rather than talking about courage and leadership, explaining how I'll go to Colombia and work with people, which tends to mean I want to be part of the club and I won't stand up for principle if it's not popular. Tell me what you mean by that.
So this is something I've seen so often, unfortunately. And, you know, a lot of times, again, people are well-intentioned, but well-intentions don't necessarily mean getting the job done. But a lot of times they'll want change and they'll want reform in the system. But they think that the way to do that is getting favor with, you know, the leadership and sort of making all the right connections. Obviously, there's an aspect to that. You've got to be able to work with people. It's true. But a lot of times if a candidate is on the campaign trail and that's what they're campaigning on, what they really mean is I don't really care to take a stand. I'm not going to set myself apart in any way. A lot of times, and specifically here in South Carolina, but I'm sure this could happen across the country, we see where the Democrats and the Republican establishment almost form this coalition where they all vote together and then the conservatives kind of vote together. And there's maybe about 20 or 30 of us on a good day. And then, you know, but we have to take a stand a lot of times against what's going on. And so if you're not willing to do that, and if you don't understand that that's what's going on in Columbia, then again, that causes me to wonder if you're ready to do that job.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not just South Carolina. I'm pretty sure this goes on everywhere across the country. Tell me this. This is not one of your questions, but how often do you see that, you know, Mr. Smith goes to Washington and then he becomes something that Mr. Smith wouldn't have liked? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, like, you go there with all the best intentions, but then they get sucked into this vortex and become everything you just described.
Yes, I think that happens quite a bit. And I, unfortunately, especially the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of candidates that want change in Columbia and that want to stand up for the people. But they'll come down. There was one instance, unfortunately, one of my colleagues, you know, who was reform-minded, and he kind of got up and said, you know, basically, everything's wonderful here. And my expectations have been, you know, shattered. And I just thought, no, you know, because I don't know what was going on in his mind, but I know that the atmosphere down there is just so sinister and deceptive. And you feel like, okay, now I can finally make a difference. And I've got sort of some power in my hands. And that's not necessarily what's happening. A lot of times it's just, you know, you're being put in a place where you feel more powerful, but really you're just becoming part of the problem. And that's unfortunate.
So is it the seduction of power, or is it the need to try to get along, or what's going on here? Is it just like, this is my ticket to higher office that's causing that? Or what do you think is happening to those people?
I think it could be, but I know for a fact that there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to call it threats, but at least pressure behind the scenes of, well, you know, you're not going to get this committee position or maybe it's the carrot, not the stick. You know, we are going to support you for a leadership position if you'll play ball with us, gotcha. You know, or we'll push your bill through. So there's a lot of that kind of horseplay that goes on. And then I think some of it too is, you know, you got to keep getting big donors to support you in order to get reelected. So, you know, you got to kind of keep the special interest groups happy. And so I guess to bring it back around, you know, when I talk about, I don't want a candidate that promises to go down and work with people. Yes, we should assume that, right, that's part of it, you know, work with people. But what I want to hear is, I'm going to have courage. I'm going to have leadership. I'm not going to become part of the system. I'm going to be willing to stand for principle. And it's not going to be for me about getting reelected and becoming a great big name down there. I'm going to be a voice for the people and be what a representative should be.
Yeah. So it all comes together. I mean, the reasons why you're saying those things, because that's what can happen. Okay. So number four, supporting public-private partnerships, sustainability, economic development. These are all establishment code for that often provide cover for cronyism. What do you mean? Any specific examples that come to mind?
Yeah, I do. I know of specific examples, but when we talk about public-private partnerships and these kinds of things, economic development, a lot of that means the government getting involved in the free market in ways that, you know, I don't think are appropriate. And so, you know, we can go to big examples. We can talk about things like the State Infrastructure Bank or the Conservation Bank. But then things, you know, on a more small scale, like special projects in the budget, you know, where one legislator will request for the state to provide part of the funding for some nonprofit organization or some, you know, whatever it may be. And a lot of times that's because they have a political connection. Those nonprofits get the funding, and other people don't. And to me, that's picking winners and losers. And it's not how the political system should run. What government is there to do is secure the rights of the people, not to pick winners and losers and give to the ones that have connections to the politicians.
Right. So in class, I would explain that as this, that, you know, you want the government to be a referee. You don't want the government to be an active participant who picks up the ball and runs for the other side. You might like it for your side, but you certainly don't want it for the other side. And so if you don't want it for them, you don't want it for you. Let the government just be a referee. Okay. Number five, too much emphasis on personalities and trying to get big endorsements rather than asking how to really serve the people. Tell me about that.
So there's another kind of red flag as far as somebody who wants to go down and be a politician rather than a servant. If what they're concerned about is making connections with these big names and they, you know, name drop, you know, let's say congressmen, senators, whatever, I've worked with these people. On the one hand, that could be good because it could show that they have some experience. Mm-hmm. You do want some of that. But what you don't want is that, again, I'm seeking the favor of the establishment, not seeking the favor of the people. What you want is somebody who's going to go, you know, knock doors, host town hall meetings, stay in touch and available with his constituents. Excuse me. And, you know, that isn't always what we see. A lot of times it's again, more about, you know, the big receptions and the big donors and who can I demonstrate that I'm connected to versus I'm connected to the people as a whole. Do you see the difference?
I do. And, you know, I actually see more of your things about I'm having this town hall meeting, I'm having this whatever, reach out to me than I do for my own representative where I am. So I know that you're actively doing that. Hey, Josiah, I know that your time is valuable. Thank you for coming on here. Thank you for explaining and elaborating, even for the initial post. And I always end every episode with a quotation for contemplation. This one comes from the Leadership Institute in Washington, D.C., their Laws of the Public Policy Process. Don't fully trust anyone until he stuck with a cause which he saw was losing. And that's a great line. And I think when you see that, you see, yeah, I can trust that guy because, you know, he's going to keep going as opposed to he's just there for the glitz and the glamour. And, you know, is he really the real deal or an empty suit? I'll give you the last word.
Well, I'll say the last word is it's a privilege to be with the leadership expert here. I enjoy your podcast and I'm going to keep listening.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.